믿음 설신 약함
믿음 설신 약함
Reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 10, Chapter 80. Chapter entitled The Brahmana Sudama, Visits Lord Krishna in Dwarka. I'll read the introduction, then we can read text one, or generally it's good to write down a verse with a purport. We can read the verse with a purport together, and then you read the individual text. This chapter relates how Lord Krishna worshipped his Brahmana friend, Sudama, who came to his palace seeking charity, and how the two of them discussed the pastimes they had shared while living in the home of their spiritual master, Sandipani Muni. The Brahmana, Sudama, a personal friend of Lord Krishna's, was completely free of material desires. He maintained himself and his wife with whatever came of his own accord, and thus they were poverty-stricken. One day, Sudama's wife, unable to find any food prepared for her husband, went to him and asked him that he would visit his friend, Krishna, in Dwarka, and beg some charity. Sudama was reluctant, but when she persisted, he agreed to go, reflecting that an opportunity to see the Lord was extremely auspicious. His wife begged a few handfuls of flattened rice as a gift for Sri Krishna, and Sudama set for Dwarka. As Sudama approached the palace of Lord Krishna's principal wife, Rukmini Devi, the Lord saw him from a distance. Krishna immediately rose from his seat on Rukmini's bed and embraced his friend with great joy. Then he sat Sudama on the bed and washed his feet with his own hands and sprinkled the wash water on his head. After this, he presented him with the various gifts and worshipped him with incense lamps and so on. Meanwhile, Rukmini fanned the shabbily dressed Brahmana with a yak tail whisk. All this astonished the residents of the palace. Lord Sri Krishna then took the hand of his friend, and the two of them reminisced about the things they had done together long ago while living in the school of their spiritual master. Sudama pointed out that Krishna engaged in the pastime of acquiring education only, to set an example for human society. Sri Raja Bhaktam Bhagavan Jnani Samyani Ukundasya Matmaha Virjani Anata Virya
Yani,
which
Anyani, others. Kundasya, the Lord Krishna. Mahatmana, supreme soul. Viryani,
glorious
deeds. Ananta,
unlimited.
Viryasya,
his
valor. Shrotam, to hear. Ichchami,
I wish.
Hey Prabhu.
O Master.
Text 2. King Prasad says, "My Lord, O Master, I wish to hear about other the glorious deeds performed by the Supreme Personality of God of Mukunda, whose valor is unlimited." Next text. Kalu Shuvasakrit Brahman Uttamasloka Satkata Virameta Vishesegno Visana Kamamarganai. Translation. O Brahmana, how could anyone who knows the essence of life and is disgusted with endeavoring for sense gratification give up the transcendental topics of Lord Uttamasloka after hearing them repeatedly? Please repeat. O Brahmana, how could anyone who knows the essence of life and is disgusted with endeavoring for sense gratification give up the transcendental topics of Lord Uttama Shloka after hearing them repeatedly? Purport. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti comments herein that when we see many persons who, even after hearing the topics of Lord Krishna repeatedly, give up their spiritual dedication. The Acharya replies that the word visheshagna is therefore significant here. Those who have actually understood the essence of life do not give up Krishna consciousness. A further qualification is to be ishanamangani, disgusted with material sense gratification. These two qualities are complementary. One who has experienced the real taste of Krishna consciousness automatically becomes disgusted with the inferior taste of material pleasure. Such a genuine hearer of the topics of Krishna cannot give up hearing about the Lord's fascinating pastimes. Om Agyanatamrandasya Janjana Salakaya Chakshuram Maditam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chitamino Vistam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Kapita Mayandada Jisvabhadantikam Vam Chakalpatru Vyascha Kripasandu Kivacha Patitanam Bhavane Hilo Vaishnadeva Namo Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Srivatsari Gaura Bhaktivinoda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare Hare Vakam Guru Divacharam Kham Guru Nangai Vinkirimi Kripita Mahambhante Shri Guru Dhanam Shri Paraman Madhavam Shri Chaitanya Ishwaram. So reading from this chapter entitled Sudama Visits Lord Krishna, and actually it's a very relishable pastime because we see an example of Sudama Vipra. One who lives in a situation of external poverty, who is devoted to Lord Krishna, has the greatest wealth from within. And if we study the nature of the material energy, Yantravu Daini Maya. The living entity is seated on a machine made of the material energy. And what is the most amazing feature of Maya, she convinces one of something that they're not. That I am this body. I am this fashion. I am this. I am American. I am Australian. I am Indian. And people become so bewildered. Ever since leaving the womb, they're born
into the world of Maya Sukhaya. And as a result, they try to develop some sense of happiness wherever they go. They try and reach out. A child at a very early stage is looking for some sense of pleasure. It's being placed from one hand to the parent, to a friend, to what have you, trying to find some nourishment. And of course, the child will always cry until it comes in contact with your mother. This is the nature, this is the state of material affairs. We're trying to base happiness going from one form of material sense gratification to the next. So Krishna describes that the process, the qualities we have to realize to free us from these embarrassing situations is that actually you have an eternal nature. Ishvara Parama Krishna, Satchit Ananda Vigraha. That the nature of the self is eternality. It is such, not the body, which is asat, which is temporary. You take your body, any experiences, you know, Bhakti Glenn, how much pleasure does your small toe give you? How much pleasure? How much do you meditate as you walk and meet people, and you know, when you're chanting your japa, you meditate on the small toe? No. Actually, if you stub the toe, you experience great pain. So the body is simply an instrument, but ultimately it is temporary. And as you know, as one grows older, that the temporary realities are always present. So the nature of the Supreme has an eternal feature, and our material identifications are a temporal feature. So Chit, the Supreme Lord, the soul, in relation to the Supreme Soul, is filled with knowledge. But the difference between the Supreme Lord's knowledge, he never loses focus in terms of the bigger picture at hand. But because the soul becomes covered by the external energy, then there are so many embarrassing situations. Everything becomes achit. Just simply the principle of knowledge. You light a candle, and a child may want to put the hand in the candle. But ultimately, the intelligence must guide the molecular, the neurological functions, controlling the body made of bile, mucus, and air, to know, don't put your hand in the flame. But ultimately, it takes some understanding. The brain has to guide so many things, but it's a mechanical reality. But the soul, in terms of its proper identification, is completely filled with knowledge. So, as the Lord described, that he has a form, the vigraha, transcendental form. But the human form, or the spiritual self identifying with the externals of the human form, is dukkha vigraha. That ultimately, this body is a place of misery, is a place of ignorance. So what an embarrassing affair to base happiness in something that we're not. To see the power of the material energy. You go into some of the buses, and especially in Australia, they have you can sit in a seat and see the kaleidoscope of personalities about. Some may be an old person, identifying with old age, teeth getting loose, has that youthful energy, but is limited in terms of one's ability, mechanical functioning. And they identify the reality, I am getting old. Or you have the punk rocker in the back seat, like that, I got the fashions. Less hair on the side and more hair up top, I can clean the top of doorways, clean the dust off the top of doorways when I walk in. So it's amazing identification. Actually, the beauty of Sankirtan, the book distribution, or any form of distribution, is that one places oneself in the shoes of another. Have you ever noticed that, Maharaj, when you may look like a certain personality, like a tough guy, or a little lady, kind of, the big tough guy like this, because we're not the biggest build, but you poach this guy, motorcycle, or, like that. They kind of like, who are you? But you see, you become a mirror to who they are, and you make them laugh. So in this way, it's the beginning to develop a relationship, a common denominator, nice book, and you're a nice person. Actually, they purchase the personality, and the book is something which can give them a foundation in which they can try and maybe adjust their personality. You know, I want to become like that person. So in this way, the Krishna conscious process means a certain sense of transcendence. But it's a fine art, because it is stated, Srila Prabhupada states, that how, if you do not have some sort of comfort, if you don't have some sort of opulence or wealth, then this can be a difficulty for the spiritual path. There must be some comfort that's there, material comforts that are there. Because if there is poverty, then ultimately, as is stated, Rasi Dasa, that actually, when there's poverty, there's no good qualities. One is void. One has no good qualities. So if you actually are on the spiritual path and you don't have any comfort, then there may be a tendency for greed for material comforts. And it can be a distraction towards the spiritual path. Now, if you're in a state of poverty, then of course the same greed can develop. Oh, give me, I gotta have something. I gotta have some wealth. Like yesterday, I made a wrong turn and I parked the car. I got into Chinatown. Of course, the Chinatown in Melbourne is not so big, but like one street. So I pulled into this one car yard, and it was like an open car yard. And he saw, Westerner. Ha! I came in, pulled in. And it's one of those car yards which I don't like, which I never go to. You give me your key. You give me key. He said, how long you be? Oh, maybe 3-4 hours. Okay. He looked at me, a car. $27. And I go, oh, I have pain in wallet. I go elsewhere. I like car garage with roof. Car garage with roof means security guard. I didn't want to give him the keys of the car, but anyway, we made an adjustment. So in other words, here's someone in a state of poverty, and the parking lot is just like is at a shambles. And I was kind of, what am I doing here? And then you give me a key. It could have been anyone walking off the street. How long you like? I know it's generally like what's $1.75 for a half hour. You know, I mentioned 3 or 4 hours. And, oh. $27. So I parked the exit stage left. This is the nature. If we do not have wealth, we actually become poverty stricken, and we become. And even the way he was asking me was just like so untasteful. I'm getting out of here, you know. But again, the sankirtan focus means placing yourself in the shoes of another. Or if you assist the sankirtan movement within a temple, a facility in terms of the deity worship, cooking, making garlands for the deities, all these different services, it's all a matter of sharing in the unique wealth of actually the sankirtan yajna. Sam means together, kirtan means to glorify. So we're coming together to glorify the Supreme Lord. And you learn the art of placing yourself in other people's shoes, in the sense of making sense. We have our devotional commitments within, and then we make sense without. And this is what Srila Prabhupada establishes in preaching. But the problem comes is when we miss the balance, a little bit too much poverty, or like, oh, you know, I'm Balaram Brahmachari, big beads, and I hate women. You get a woman close to me, and I'll. Because ultimately, aversion is the opposite side of attraction. It happened in Chicago, actually. Buddy Ryan was spending time there. And they were going to Harinam one day. And there was one Balaram Brahmachari, big beads, you know. Real good saffron cloth. I mean, the best. Big beads. Ate three dogs. Prabhupada mentioned nine chickpeas like that, you know, a day. Eight chickpeas. He would eat three. And one chapati. Tapasya. Because actually, this verse is speaking about, you know, renunciation and tapasya. So this Brahmacharya was really such a, you know, into the para upakar, this welfare work of giving to others. So during Harinam, he would hold the sweet tray. Why not? And he'd go out and distribute the sweet tray to different personalities. And Bodhidharma was kind of following. He's going down the side street. Oh, there must be some bums down there. Must be some person in need. And he follows him down the street,
turn the corner, and then there are Balaram Brahmachar. The whole plate, you know. So when you go in Harinam and Brahmacharya disappear with a plate of prasad, you may see something unique. But Falgu Vairagya, this is actually a false pronunciation. Now, Sudam Vipra, he actually performed so much tapasya, described in the Purana, very wonderful description of Sudam Vipra's Leela. How he was so poor. Actually, his children were hungry. You all know when the Bhagavatam class goes too long and everyone's a bit hungry and the stomach, you know, digestive capacity gets working, and, you know, at the time, you have time to take prasad. That his children were starving. And even he would go out and beg and get nice foodstuffs for his family, but the thieves would come and steal. Yashyanam Nugunami, Harsyetanam Sanai. Krishna's so special mercy when he takes things away. Of course, that's not his special mercy if he doesn't take things away. But in his leelas, for some, he takes things away. So in other words, he figured, oh, forget it. I'm not going to go out and beg and have it stolen by rogues. So then, what I will do is just depend on my Lord Krishna. So then, he comes to this verse here, where his wife is saying, ah, Prabhu, we need some, you know, we need something in the house. We're very poor. The children are starving. And he goes, oh, all right. You go see Krishna in Dwarka. Oh, all right. But I have to bring. And it's like you always bring the king a gift, correct? What to speak of the Supreme Lord. You always bring him a gift. So in this way, he went to the kitchen. And he went to the cupboard. You know, sometimes, I guess we have, our kitchen is very neat and different, but, you know, there's like all the pots, all the vessels were empty. Even one, he put his hand in one pot and it was on the frog, turned out, you know. But then he found up in the corner some flat rice, some moldy flat rice. So his wife took the rice, tied it together, and gave it to him, and he went off. So on his way to Dwarka, he's thinking, I'm just a Brahmin, how to get to Dwarka? And he asked different Brahmins that had just come from Dwarka. Just come from Dwarka. So much opulence, so much riches, so much wealth. And they had like the cows with the gold tits. Everything's there. Everything's there. But he wasn't thinking, wow, when I get to Krishna, I'm going to be rich, the lotto. You know, I'm going to win. No, he was thinking, ooh, my best friend, Lord Krishna, is so wealthy. He's so kind to give in charity. Oh, I can't wait to see him. I miss him so much. So he asked the various brahmanas, where is the, because you know Dwarka is at sea, so how to get there? And there's a harbor where he could find a ship. So he found his way, and he went to the harbor, and he found that the ships look so big. And the Puranas is described that actually Krishna's temple, each of Krishna's palaces in Dwarka was bigger than Dwarka. Now do your spiritual mathematics here. Each palace is bigger than Dwarka. Huh? And each ship, okay, was bigger than each palace. Do your spiritual mathematics there. Quantum physics will have to take a backseat on this one. But actually the nature of the Supreme Absolute Truth, you know, that example, you know, the Brahmana asking different, you know, believing fully, had full conviction that the Lord was threading the head of a needle with an elephant. I mean, by Krishna's arrangement, Krishna's mercy, anything's possible. From a little seed, a tree can grow. What to speak of threading the head, you know, of a needle with an elephant? What to speak of having a ship which is bigger than the palace, which is bigger than Dwarka? I mean, figure that. You see the big ships at sea, you know, that we have coming to Melbourne Port? Figure that, you know. You have like a temple that's bigger than the city of Melbourne, and the ships are bigger than the temple. So anyways, he got on the boat, and so then he went to Dwarka, and he had these big guards. Actually, even the guards on the boat, who is this small fry? What do you want? He's my friend Krishna. All right, let him go. So then he came to Dwarka. And then Dwarka, you get his big guards here.
I'm a little friend of Lord Krishna.
The guards, you know. Narayan Kavach Army, you know. Huh? And they figured, you know, if he's a friend of Lord Krishna, and we don't let him through, we'll lose our heads. So then, just apply. Just go ahead. So then Sudama, he saw these really beautiful boys, these beautiful children, so much opulence, so much wealth. He's going, wow. Well, these must be Lord Krishna's children. And maybe those are his grandchildren. And wow, they're so beautiful. Oh, wait a minute. If he has grandchildren, I must be getting kind of old myself. He kind of felt the empty spot behind him in the rear there, you know. And so then he said, where is Krishna? And then everyone was saying, oh, he's Sarvakarta. He's all pervading. No. I want to see him in person. So one servant of Rukmini's palace, she said, oh, I can take you. I work in Rukmini's palace. But I'll go through the back door. I'm a servant, but you must go through the front door. So then he goes to the front door and says to the guard, I'm Sudan Kripa. I'm a Krishna's friend in school. Okay, we'll send a message upstairs. Remember, the palaces are bigger than Dwarka. Hello. But somehow or another, the message is is presented up to Krishna, and he's sitting there with a fruit plate before him, taking his nice meal in the morning, and he hears the word Sudama, Vipra, Sudama, Sudama, and he runs downstairs. It's kind of like it's described in the Purana. It's kind of like a rainbow of hats. So you have the guards, you have the queens running after Krishna, running downstairs, running like this. And so the Lord comes, and there's Sudama Vipra, and described here how he was so happy to see his servant. And it's a wonderful description of when they would embrace and they would faint, and they would embrace and they would faint. And it's like, what is this? The supreme, our king, the supreme lord, is embracing little skinny old Brahmana. Who is this little Brahmana? Could he be Lord Brahma? Who is this personality? And they do, sometimes we see in our dancing, you know, you have devotees kind of head off on each other, and you know, you know, they go in circles and dance around in circles. So they were kind of like doing like that. And the guards and the tourists are kind of looking down. What happened to the Lord? And they think, oh, we better not laugh. We will lose our heads. And then the Lord and Sudama Vipra have a very wonderful, they finally calm down, they're breathing heavily, and then they finally have a very nice conversation. Because here we're reading about how when he went to in the youth, they had a spiritual master, Sandipani Muni. He once sent them out to get firewood. And it was very, very, thunderstorms, etc. And then Krishna pretended to be, scared. Like, I love it. Sonya's picture, Maharaj. We took a picture of Nrisingadev in Nrisingadev Chakradasa. It's a close-up. And you always see the milk coming down over his face. It's amazing. Photography can capture a moment in history that a pujari can never see with the naked eye. I mean, you know, it's amazing because you see the milk coming around his eyes, around his mouth. Because in Mayapur, we can see the Adorya feature, the special sweet, acceptive feature which is there with the Lord, because that form, worshipped anywhere else, can be a difficult one to handle, like the village. He was carving. What was the carver? His place burned down, you know. Take your deity, take your deity. You know, he wanted to go to Mayapur and get some nice boga offerings. So it's very amazing. You should see this picture. So in the same sense, the Lord is most merciful, and with Sudama Vipra, he exhibited this sense of fear. And Sudama Vipra held like a banana leaf over his head to keep the raindrops, and they had a bunch of wood under him, all kept nice and dry. And then Panimuni came later and to find his voice. He was looking for them. Oh, just see, you are the perfect disciples. Not only are you performing your service, but you're actually dedicated to the service of the Guru. So in this way, I give you special benediction that whatever you speak will always remain fresh.
So in this way, they relish the pastimes. The Lord invited Sudhamvipra, "You come to my room. You come to my room, and we will take prasad together." And when the Lord came, the Lord placed him on his bed and began to bathe his feet. And all the queens, "Wow, who is this? Is it Lord Brahma? Could it be Indra? Who is this little Brahman?" So then they started bathing and sprinkling the water in their head like this. And then the Lord, aha, he saw that little bag of moldy flat rice right there. And he grabbed, "What do you have?" And the Sudama was so embarrassed. "Oh, wow." And he grabbed it. The Lord grabbed it and took a bite. And he was so excellent. Lord, was it Sridhar, where he once was in such love, he gave Lord Chaitanya the banana peel instead of the banana.
Vidura.
Huh?
Vidura.
What's a Vidura?
Vidura.
Okay. Alright, it was Vidura. And the Lord relished the devotional offering. Not that we want to imitate, you know, we want to, you know, we start in the process of the Vaidhi aspect and work our way up. But in this way, it was such an intimate exchange from the Lord, and he went for a second, he tried to grab a second time, and then Rukmini said, "Don't." She grabbed his arm. "You've already given him all unlimited wealth, surpassing Indra. If you take another bite, I have to go serve him directly in his palace. I want to stay here with you." So in this way, the Lord says, "Now it came late in the day, so it's time to take rest." And he took the cloth from Sudhamvipra, all, you know, moldy, you know, rotten cloth, and he gave him his own silk dress, nothing but the best. And then they spent the whole night talking. I mean, maybe some experience. You know, for those, you know, spending all night talking about some subject matter. Of course, sometimes it can happen with a book vision. "Yeah, I met this person, that person, this thing happened," you know. So they spent all night talking about their pastimes. And it came the time for Sudhamvipra to leave the next morning. And then the Lord brought on a golden platter, brought his cloth. And then he said, "You always come back. You always come back to see me. I relish your association." So Sudhamvipra, here's an example. He was so blissed out, he forgot the other mission at hand. The wife wanted a little bit of, you know, just some yogurt, something that they can live in a lifestyle with less poverty. But he was in such ecstasy. You see, he pure devotee of the Lord. He saw the Brahmanas. He didn't think about the wealth. He thought about Krishna's kindness. He saw Krishna's children. He saw, the Lord must be getting old. But wow, I'm getting old, of course, in that sense. But she was thinking, he's always thinking of placing Krishna in the center. This is one thing we can learn, that Krishna consciousness does not mean aisle, you're in it alone. No, it's in terms of wheel. You're always in the association of your spiritual master and service. You're always in the association of the Lord. This is a beautiful feature of the glorification program of Sankirtan, of placing Krishna in the center. Then you'll always remember Krishna and never forget him. So then Sudama had gone, he goes, "Oh." It's like when you go out, you know, if you go out on Sankirtan, like yesterday I forgot my ID. I only drove a few blocks. "Oh, my ID. I had to go back, you know." He was thinking, "Oh no, I forgot the goal. Well, I'm so happy to see Krishna, but my wife, she's going to kill me when I get back, you know." So then, yeah, forget it, you know. Rocky Krishna Marike, Marike Krishna Rakike, you know. Krishna wants to save you, no one can harm you. Krishna wants to harm you, no one can save you. So, well, anyways, the victory is there. I saw my friend, and whatever happens is his arrangement. But he goes back, and he sees the little pond near his house turn to a giant lake with swans with pearls on the beaks. Very beautiful. Wow, I made a wrong turn somewhere. And then he goes to the palace. And out in the palace, you know, he saw so many servants, and he saw there was one lady who was kind of like familiar to him. "Do I know you from somewhere? You know, she's beautifully dressed. I am your wife." And all of a sudden he realized, look at this. His children had gluttons in their hands. He's very happy, big smile. Hare Krishna children like lots of sweets. That'll bring good smile. But the principle being is that he was so absorbed. It's also described he worshipped Shalagram Shila. And he went we went to see Shalagram Shila, golden throne of thunder, and actually the Shalagram had manifested a form of Dwarkadish. He going, so much arpas has come my way, I will not reject it. So in this way, he had the quality of humility, he used everything Krishna's everything that Krishna's given for the pleasure of the Lord. Despite all provoking situations, he was focused on Krishna. In chapter 89, I guess as you mentioned yesterday, it's chapter 90 now because they've doubled the chapters up. In the Krishna book, Srila Prabhupada says your advancement can be tested by your ability to avoid, to tolerate provoking situations. Have you ever gone through any provoking situations while you've been experiencing Krishna consciousness?
No.
No tests have come your way? Difficulties? Prabhupada gave an example. You know, you're trying to make an offering to the Lord. Sometimes devotees may not get along with each other. Like, you know, cooking in the kitchen, making lots of noise. But the ultimate goal is Krishna. See, the Prabhupada said in this very room, that actually, that if someone comes and renders some service to Krishna, it's like turning a screw. And that screw, Krishna always remembers that. That service. So ultimately, the devotee, a devotee is a great soul. Even if one turns in some little service, what to speak of persons who have dedicated themselves to the mission, in terms of day by day, week by week, year by year, in terms of managing, in terms of distribution, in terms of deity worship, the devotees around you are not ordinary souls. And Srila Prabhupada once said, was it in Soho? He said, you never know who's sitting next to you.
Could be Narada Muni.
So that light, we're all like insurance policies. The right kind of insurance policy is to actually become Gopi Patapakamalar Dasa Dasa Rudas. Become a servant of a servant of a servant. So you look at the devotee next to you, that this devotee, for some arrangement, has been sent by Providence, and I have the association, so this is a perfect arrangement. And in this way, we become a servant of the servant. So devotees are the most ultimate insurance policies. Because why? That through this sadhu sangha, lamantra sadhu sangha, sarva siddhi hoy, that there's perfection is there. There is complete perfection. So don't take devotee association for granted. See your opportunity of service as an insurance policy. And Krishna says, Dadami Bhuti Yogam Tam. I give you intelligence. I give my devotees intelligence of how to surrender. So we see devotees who have different abilities, whether you're a cook, whether you're a manager, a book distributor, a temple president, each devotee has a certain shakti. Krishna Shakti Vinayai Tarkavartana. Unless you have a sense of empowerment coming in parampara, the propagation of the Sangha cannot happen. So we do not want to be wooden headed, taking one another for granted, because actually anyone who's rendering service is very dear to the Lord. So let me make insurance policies of how to make spiritual advancement. Because if we do that as a team, then the family is so very, very attractive. I mean, yesterday I saw a devotee who had been with us for some time distributing CDs for a friend. And due to some maybe misapplication of Krishna consciousness, and there's been one person who's left us. Just like I had the unfortunate misfortune of being kidnapped by the deprogrammers, and then my second deprogramming, because I couldn't, they didn't have enough of me. Mom and Dad had some money to spend. Second deprogramming, he had a pujari, ex-pujari from Laguna Beach. He knew all kinds of smokers and very scholarly. He's known as a very good scholar of Laguna Beach in those days. But he did one thing. He always kept to himself. So it happened, he got some kind of car accident and, you know, somehow or another, it wasn't handled properly within our temple. Anyways, it's just an excuse for him to, just see how I've been treated. I feel like a wet cloth. Oh, what about this high philosophy? And he left. And then he actually became that quality, some demoniac quality was there. He actually became
a martial artist in destroying others' faith in God.
The programmers, they had 144 cases. I was 145th.
And with 141 success ratio. They'll kidnap Christians, nuns, you name it. Whatever there is, the book. Mm-hmm. This came from Hare Krishna at that time zone when they came in. So anyways, I was just, how can I get back? You know, and actually one person, in the first year program, a disciple of Tamal Krishna Maharaj, who was going to take sannyas, somehow or another he left due to unfulfilled material passions. And then I preached to him as he programmed it. What's a nice guy like you doing in a place like this? Huh? You know? In other words, he was just kind of like, what happened was he sued the deprogrammers for $20,000. So I felt some consolation. But this Pujari had rendered so much service. Because, okay, anyone who renders service, it's eternal in your bank account. But if you need some fine-tuning in your spiritual culture, then the Lord will pull the rug in a certain way. But he fell off a balcony, broke both his legs after my deprogramming. So my realization from that day forward was, do not mess with the faith of others. Meaning, if you param disparavartate, you give us a lower taste by experience and a higher taste. So we encourage others to add Krishna. We encourage others in an attractive manner. Hey, just don't worry about the don'ts. This is a mistake in our preaching if we say, don't do this, don't do that. Because if we simply tell them the do's with Prabhupada, the initiation, first days, he didn't talk about the four real principles. He said, it's chant, dance, be happy. And it's initiation day. And by the way, we have four prohibitions. Huh?
No, what?
You know, the Bravo is expert. But the principle, the powerful, again, back to this essence of placing yourself in the shoes of another. This is the beauty of those who have the opportunity to go out and meet, you know, for example, the book distribution, or to go out and meet people, is that this helps you develop a sense of training, of thinking, of the mindset of a person. How can I give them Krishna? Then, when you become, shall we say, you may become a manager, general president, sannyasi, guru, what have you, then you have the ability with your disciples or with your presentation of Krishna consciousness to encourage others to add Krishna. It's almost like Srila Prabhupada would always emphasize this point, that you simply cram my purports and you present them in your own words, your own realizations. And it becomes such an attractive affair. And you each experience, as I take shelter of Srila Prabhupada in this way, there's a sense, there's a special empowerment. For myself, I used to like to be in the country all the time. I didn't like the big cities. Now I find myself in, you know, Calcutta, in Kathmandu, cities, well, Kathmandu is a nice city, small, but Calcutta. I don't know about you, but if I'm in Calcutta for more than 3 days, I get headaches. It's like, you know. I get, and the devotees who live there, they develop some toleration. So then I go back to Mayapur, recover and go back. But I realize this. One reason I'm in Mayapur, after being, I would spend maybe two months or a month in India in the past. I would spend time in the West. Then I come back to Radhamadhu. After spending 3 days in Calcutta, Radhamadhu smiling the same and going, do the economics, you know, not long flights. No, I'm just, you know. But the thing is, I find that, it is an amazing reality when we read these descriptions of how Sudhambhripa was a perfect Brahmana and his absorption in Krishna consciousness. He wasn't backing out the door. He wasn't trying to juggle broken glass while he performed his service to Krishna. He had given up all these things. But what happens is, if we maintain the attachments that are there, anartha vritti, the unwanted things that are there, and we try and fan them, then difficulty can enter, and we develop a wrong conception of reality in terms of how to deal with the Vaishnavas, how to serve the Lord. There's one story with Suryadas, who was like a very great saint in Vrindavan. One time there was a storekeeper who was actually, they have a beautiful deity in the Jetipur, in Natchi. And he never went to see the deity, but he had a very fancy shop.
But he would hear about the Brahmins, about the deity. Oh, the Nasti is dressed in this way and that way. He'd always memorize how the deity was dressed. And then he would tell all his customers, yes, Nasti's wearing this and this, that today. But he'd never take darshan of the temple himself, the little Lord himself. And he would cheat the Brahmins just to get some business. He was selling cloth like that. So then Suryadas came, and the pure devotee, Tri Kaligya, he can see past, present, future. He can understand the consciousness of this merchant. So he said, you come with me to the temple. You come. And he goes, I have to clean the store now, get prepared for the day. You come in the afternoon, then we'll go to see Nathji. And then he came in the afternoon, saying, oh, well, so many customers are coming. Please come tonight. And then he came in the evening. Oh, it's been a long day of work. I'm tired. You come tomorrow morning. We'll go take darshan and Nathji and Mangalarti. He kept postponing. And Suryadas was kind of like, you know, this aspect of preaching, you can compliment someone. But then he had to get a little heavy. Because he said, look, I know you have never taken darshan, and you're telling people these Brahmins are lies just for business. I'm going to tell everyone. Don't do that. Okay, I'll take darshan. And in this way, the following morning when he came, he went and took darshan of the Lord, and then he was born in Vrindavan. So to be born in Vrindavan means there is some piety there. The Shastra describes the degree to take birth in the holy Dham, according to your piety, in a sense, you will take birth closer and closer or within the Dham itself. So anyways, but he still, there was something within the heart that he did not actually want to see the deity form. But when he saw the Lord, then that Sukriti that was there, he became attracted. My Lord, you're so beautiful. Oh, I feel so terrible for so many years. I have not come to take darshan of you. And to this day, you've given me your darshan. There was a change. There was a transformation of consciousness. So what Srila Prabhupada has done in the most unique, inconceivable way is to train us to become Krishna conscious during even the most provoking situations, meaning being in the Western field. How many persons in this temple? What's the population in Melbourne? 4 million. Out of 4 million people, how many people do we see coming for the morning class? So in other words, the process of Krishna consciousness is limited in the sense of, in terms of, it is attractive towards a certain spectrum of spiritual entities. So in this essence is that Prabhupada, he made his temples, that he said they're actually bases to fight Maya. They're actually Vaikuntha. So not many persons in the material world, like you see in a normal prison, not many persons like to get out. They simply learn how to break the law, get out, break the law, and go back in. But the librarian is one who gets out. I want to work within society and be a positive contributor. So in this way, the process of Krishna consciousness, Prabhupada, his brilliance is that he is presented like a spider plant, you know, temple plantations around the world and farm communities where persons can add Krishna, remember Krishna, never forget Krishna. Because even if you're born in Braj, and I know there are some personalities in Braj who could never survive in the West spreading Krishna consciousness. In other words, Prabhupada did what was beyond the impossible. He said impossible is a word in a fool's dictionary, that he actually went to a Western field and encouraged others to add Krishna and gave them a mission to absorb Krishna consciousness, not a mission to enjoy Krishna. Because even in our Vaishnava circles, there's a misunderstanding in terms of how to be enjoyed by Krishna or try to enjoy Krishna, where one develops certain meditations and orientations which are not proper for one's progressive, at this point in time, spiritual advancement. So Srila Prabhupada, he gave us a process of Aidi Bhakti to work in such a way to always remember Krishna, and then these higher sentiments will come naturally, even like work now, samadhi later. But we want to, as we excel in Krishna consciousness, be balanced.
To not be, as described here, not become too on the poverty side and not too much opulence. Keep things very simple. And in this way, you'll be fixed. And within your service, there will be a taste. Because there's three thermometers we can look at, a barometer of our health. Our ability in the nam-seva, our ability in the vaishnav-seva, and ability in the jiva-doi. Service to the name, service to the vaishnavas, and also service in terms of the distribution capacity. These three principles, if you simply meditate about these three points, you can take your temperature daily. Every day we're reciting the 10 offenses, and that way you can check, make a check, you know, I'm making this mistake, that mistake. And then it'll be like when you go into an attic. As you, year after year in Krishna consciousness, you may go into like an attic, for example, and you find a board. And you wipe the board, and all of a sudden you find the board is actually a mirror.
Chasing off the dark and the margin.
Because a mirror. You get a reflection of yourself. That I'm a servant of my spiritual master. My spiritual master has given me everything. And it's described in the, that the, for Ekadasi, for example, and when you perform a Ekadasi Vrata, if you offer all the benefits to Guru, everything, don't take anything for yourself, you offer everything to Guru, then by the mercy of Guru, Guru Kripa, then the benefits of performing some tapasya will come back limitedly to the disciple. Not the motivation, they got to come back limitedly, but there's a certain way to get the mercy. So any form of devotional service, if we offer the fruits to our Guru, if we become a mouthpiece, a representative of Guru, then there it, you become a part of that chain of parampara. But you see, there is a Guru, Sadhu, Shastra, Nanseva, Vaishnava, Seva, Jiva, Doi, these different checkpoints that we have to make rapid advancement in Krishna consciousness. So I find for myself what has been very helpful as far as to consolidate these principles is work in such a way to put a smile on someone's face. If you're always working in such a way to put a smile on someone's face, I mean, we are in spiritual circles, and we're serving Vaishnavas, we're serving Vaishnavis in that sense. If we work in such a way to encourage others about the positive aspect of Krishna consciousness, not the don'ts, but the do's, then automatically the don'ts will manifest. Like the example of the wind and the sun. The wind is blowing to take the coat off the person's back. But the sun comes out, and the person's holding on. The sun comes out, Krishna Suryasaramaya Andhakar. Where there's the light of Krishna, darkness cannot enter. The coat comes off very easily. So think about this simple principle. If you work within your service to put a smile on someone else's face, then there's a lot of person. There's a stock of personalities watching your activities. And behind the spiritual, the civic line, there is a Supreme Lord who will also be smiling. So we often point out, we look at the deity daily, and Radha Vallabha is smiling so nicely. If our sadhana, if our habits are good, in line with the parampara, then the Lord, you'll be smiling with the Lord will be smiling with you. But if your habits are not so positive, the Lord may be smiling at you. So Krishna consciousness is a very simple process. Prabhupada said, simple for the simple, but difficult for those who have crooked minds. So here you are, one part of the globe, Melbourne, ISKCON, beautiful deities, great prasad, good weather. There's such opulences here. But don't become wooden-headed. Don't take the opportunity for granted. You could come to Krishna consciousness anywhere else, but you've been sent here for a reason. So develop your foundation, and develop these good habits, and then you'll learn the art that Sudhavipra has done. To even live in a simple manner, but always remembering Krishna. And then your attractive consciousness in terms of your ability to give Krishna to others. Prabhupada at the Chicago airport, when he came one time, one man had saw Prabhupada, and he thought he would be a tall man. He was a janitor, an Afro-American janitor, you know. He thought, I saw
is Prabhupada. Wow, when I saw Prabhupada, I hit the ground. I paid what they call obeisance.
You know? So Prabhupada, he actually, because he was so absorbed in the mission of the Guru, because he was so absorbed in giving Krishna to others, he had the ability he was the commander of Krishna consciousness. He could be the most expert manager, at the same time have the most rose-like qualities of looking at individual devotees. And this is a sign of a great soul. They can make sense to a wide spectrum of individuals. But you see, our little service, whether it's washing the pots in a user-friendly way, in service to Krishna, associating with the Vaishnavas, taking shelter of the Nam, our little tiny service will empower us to broaden our ability to remember Krishna, to share Krishna. And a pure devotee, just by a pure devotee smile, you can change the consciousness of another. This is what Prabhupada, this was his empowerment. By his smile, he would change hearts. So this is an amazing opportunity that is there. So as we read his books, as we follow his serve within a society, we'll keep that Prabhupada, as Prabhupada Anugas, we'll keep that living experience, that explosive experience of Krishna consciousness, and we'll be an attractor towards helping others add Krishna. And in this way, we'll never actually leave the process. What to speak of others, there'll be less family members who want to leave. Of course, yes, everyone has their independence. Srila Bhakti Siddhanta, one time he hid one of his disciples underneath the bed. His mother came to get him. I want my boy. Oh, I have not seen your brahmacharya like this. He's right under, hidden under the bed of Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur. And when someone would leave, tears would come to his eyes that I've struggled slowly. I worked so hard. So this is the nature of those who have the soft arts. We need Divya Gyan, transcendental knowledge, but we must use the heart in terms of, again, giving Krishna to others. And this is what's been given to us by Lord Chaitanya, to become transcendental distributors in some way, shape, and form. And then every moment of your Krishna conscious interactions will be dynamic. It won't be dull. You won't think, oh, why have I been given the duty of this service? Why do I have to do that? No, go back to square one. In terms of the nam-seva, how is your nam? How is your service to the nam doing? The vaishnav-seva, am I interacting with the vaishnavas in a positive manner? Am I undermining someone's faith, you know, their faith? Because actually, Akshamuni says to the sadhyas, a scientific definition of vaishnava aparad, if we make a comment about another vaishnava without the motivation for their spiritual upliftment, then you incur the sinful reaction, their sins. And your pious credits go to that person. So we have to think very definitely in the political, the politics can learn a lot about this, you know. That if we criticize another unnecessarily, then we take on their reactions, and we give them our pious credits. And that's why the Lord Chaitanya described this verse, Trinadapisanichana, to lure, use this verse as your heart and soul and wear a garland around one's neck. So if we keep these simple points in mind, Krishna consciousness, again, very simple for the simple. So please, bear in mind these points, and then we can also become Sudam Vipras in our own right. In terms of living simply, right down the straight and narrow, and always encourage others, always remember Krishna. And then your life will be very, very powerful. Because you see an important reality. Our philosophy is not just to go back to God. That's a wonderful goal. But actually what Prabhupada has given us is something higher. Is to bring others with us. Srila Prabhupada said to one Gaudiya Sannyasi. The Gaudiya Sannyasi said to Prabhupada, Swamiji, you're going to the West and you don't know which fork or spoon to use? Like this? The Prophet says, you've gone to learn these things, I am going to teach them something else. See the Prabhupada? So So if we also can act in such a way to try and encourage others and teach them something else. So I'll stop there. Does anybody have any comments or questions in respect towards these different points? Yes.
You were mentioning how it's difficult to be in a big city, get access to in the forest or in the country.
Right.
Could you give some how to, if you have a detachment, how do you overcome it and learn to be in the city anyway?
Well, the principle of being in the material world is this, as I mentioned earlier, what's in it for me? Nike, just do it. Just go for it, enjoy. But in reality, the difference which separates the material from the spiritual is the spiritual reality we're meant to be enjoyed. So in other words, okay, what makes me feel less comfortable that to be in a certain environment, well, let me do it for the service of another. And you see, Krishna expresses his desire through the stock of Vaishnavas and Vaishnavis around us. So, not that we can perceive, we cannot speak with the deity, you know, we can only perceive indications where the deity is pleased by those who we can perceive around us, the service of the Vaishnavas. So, in other words, we have to give up it's described here, you're giving up material attachment. Because Paramahansa Bhakti take experience a higher attachment, a spiritual attachment. So in other words, you've given up maybe that nice car you had, or you've given up that nice, you know, that nice whatever job you might have had, you know, you've given up a certain spectrum of friends, and now you're living with a different field of personalities. You've given up some attachments. But now as a devotee, Prabhupada says, just because you wear tilak, it's not that easy. Don't be absorbed in the externals. Do simply add the process of what is the internals of Krishna consciousness. And that means that somehow to become a servant. And you will find that as you become steady on the path, following the principles, in terms of doing some progressive service, maintaining that, then you get, it's kind of like a weightlifter, lifts the small weights and then the big weights. Then a taste develops. And it becomes easier to renounce our aversions. Like, for example, I said, I love the country, but I'm always in the cities. And then it becomes you rejoice. What did Queen Kunti say? She prayed for the calamities to come again and again. Why? Because it means remembrance. You see how detached you're becoming? Like a runner. When a runner runs, they become detached from the body to a certain degree. That you become, that you see, this is for Krishna's pleasure. I don't care. I'm going to go against the grain. My body, as you go from the age from 20, 30, 40, you have to go against the grain. When you're 40, the body starts slowing down. And if you don't have that forward momentum, you think, well, let me go for some comfortable situation. Yeah, maybe a nice, you know, apartment. Let's say you're an unsuit. I say this in a joking manner, but you know, well, let me have a pitter-patter of kids around me. You know, in other words, what I'm saying is that if you want different facilities. I'm not getting anything wrong. The point is what I'm saying. If you want things that distract you from Krishna consciousness, then that's not so good. So how to overcome that attachment as you make advancement is to go to the next level. You give up some material attachments, give up your spiritual attachments. Meaning that, oh, I have to dress like this. I have to chant like that. No, it becomes a natural affair. This is at a very advanced level. For example, the devotees are giving up spiritual attachments by going out in Sankirtan and maybe dressing and putting normal, you know, civilian clothes on. Because the cloth is so comfortable and devotee association is so nice. But you give up your spiritual attachment to go out and meet people. Not in all situations, some situations. That's what I like about being in India. I never have to take off this cloth. And I find in Australia it's more favorable for my distribution to do that, because sometimes people can appreciate us. So the point being is that absorb yourself in service, your material attachments will go. And as you make advancement in spiritual service, then, well, your difficulties begin to go. You used to struggle with your own mind, right?
But a spiritual, like a guru, a spiritual preceptor, you know what they have? They take on the problems of others. They've conquered their own mind, so now they take on the problems of others. And this is the process. A special reciprocation. And the benefits? Out of this world. Few short years, absorption and service, and you go back home, back to God. And Prabhupada said that if you simply follow the four Vedic principles, chant 16 rounds, I guarantee you'll go back home, back to God. That's Prabhupada's guarantee. I guarantee. Follow the principles, chant 16 rounds. To do that for one life, to follow the principles, chant 16 rounds, means service. Means the non, means the devotees, means giving to others. You're guaranteed. Now forget, even as I said earlier, but you'll be bringing others with you. So then you'll laugh at your attachments. And actually the attachments you have are perfectly designed. Because Krishna has sent you those attachments according to your previous desire. Then you absorb yourself in service, the attachments go. Then guess what? Krishna consciousness, as I said earlier, is the ultimate multi-market leveling program. Your difficulties to break that habit is going to be, there's vijnana, there's realized knowledge there. You're going to help others with the same problem. They'll come to you, oh Prabhu, I don't want to do this, I don't want to do that. Oh, and you'll be able to, with realized knowledge, share. So in other words, your difficulties, like I, myself, you know, I've gone through so many different tests and, you know, various fields of service and difficulties there, but I wouldn't change it one iota. I went through two spiritual masters searching for a guru. Two of my spiritual masters left their service temporarily. That's very painful. But I wouldn't change it at all because it's brought me to where I am now. So in this way, you can actually absorb yourself in, as you live, to live for the others in this world. Then there's realization. And there's peace in the individual sense for yourself, and then guess what? You make sense collectively. Did you have a question? She wants some Tulsi Beach, and yes, we even in India we see this instance, businessmen, you know, they'll wear plastic Tulsi. Not Tulsi. Because if you're wearing Tulsi, you're like you're seen as like, you know, oh, you must be a saintly person. But it is best that when we make a commitment. But again, any Prabhupada, again, emphasizing the dues, adding Krishna, as a general rule, it'd be for someone who wears Tulsi, should be following a holistic lifestyle. But I remember when I wasn't following a holistic lifestyle, and I got prasad. And all of a sudden, you know, it wasn't like Krishna comes in a particular form. So in other words, if someone develops attachment, that's good, but the general rule is better that they follow a sattvic lifestyle. And you never know how people can change. But I think it's according to the individual, you know, you have to see a person's life. Well, you can also encourage her, well, this is a very sacred plant to wear. And if you actually follow a positive lifestyle, you'll get the benefits of wearing it. In other words, he presented it in such a way that, okay, let me get my act together, then I'll wear it. Like that. Any other questions, points? Okay. Grantara Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Jirgu Srila Prabhupada ki, Guru Premanam ki.